The highlights for this quarter in slide four show the energy market when we compare it to the first quarter of 2020. In addition to the negative impact, in this quarter, it is important to remind you that preventive measures were announced only in March 2020. In this regard, in most of the third quarter last year, we still did not have the severe effects associated to the pandemic. Energy consumption until then grew at high rate because of the economic activity during this period. In the southeast, it was going up under the impact of strong rains. In the beginning of this year, different cities implemented restrictive measures as a result of the worsening of the conditions of the pandemic. In the first quarter of 2021, we carry over the COVID effect, which is being compared to a period of strong growth in most of the group's distributors. Under these effects, as indicated in the graph, the consumption in the commercial segment was the main problem in the quarter due to the limitation of operations of restaurants, business centers, and also on-site classes in schools and universities, and therefore the weak results in this class is not exclusive to the group energies. It was also observed in the consolidated energy consumption in Brazil. In both cases, this class has recorded a decrease in all of the different regions, especially in the north and center west. The segments with highlights in the quarter were the industrial, especially in the construction related chain, residential because of the high temperatures, and also the low basis in 2020 in the southeast. Finally, a brief comment regarding the market according to the different distributors. The highest increases were observed in the southeast, Minas Gerais and Friburgo. They were leveraged by residential with a combination of low bases in 2020 and high temperatures in 2021, and also in industry, especially mining, cement production, metal and paper in these regions. On the other hand, Rondônia and Acre decreased consumption in the quarter as a result of the strengthening of the restrictions associated to the pandemic. We also had strong rains, which led to a state of public calamity in different cities. In slide six, I present the overall losses of the group. In the 12-month curve, we saw 13.77%. Basically, it was stable when compared to the December indicator. There was a trend towards improvement in the loss curves when we look at the month of September, which was 13.82%. The accrued performance in the months of July and September was strongly affected by the first wave of the pandemic. The months of December and March still carried these effects, but with improvements in the loss curves as a result of continued action to fight losses with investments in new technologies for the detection of fraud, inspection methods, and protection of the measurement network, among others. I would like to highlight that the Rondônia and Acre concession remain with an increasing trajectory of losses. This is consistent. And then in slide number seven, I highlight that 10 of our 11 distributors continued within the regulatory limitations in terms of the deck quality indicator. In this quarter, the star of the day were Energisa Borborema and Tocantins because they presented their historical minimum. Regarding the FEC indicators, all of our 11 distributors were below their regulatory limits, with a highlight to Nova Friburgo, Borborema, Mato Grosso, and Acre, which also had their historical minimum in this first quarter. Even in a critical scenario of the pandemic, we maintain our productivity and our results. With this, we have obtained important positions in ANEEL's annual ranking, which take into account DEC and FEC, that was published on March 15. Within this category, above 400,000 consumer, we classify 7 distributors among the 12 best. Regarding the category below 400,000 consumers, EBO and ENF were classified among the 8 best. A reason for us to be proud at Energisa. Now, move on to the next slide. This is our last in the operational highlight slide. We had a consolidated rate for March 2021, accumulated in 12 months, of 96.47 when compared to the total in the same period, above 96.41%. presented in March 2020. This positive performance is still more relevant since we are comparing this indicator, which captures in 2021 the whole pandemic period, including the last 12 months, with the prior indicator, which is considered a pre-pandemic indicator. This slide now includes expenses for the provision of doubtful liquidation credit, which presented a reversal of 3.3 million this quarter. We had a reversion of 96.5 million resulting from the cession of receivable titles in some of our controlled units, where the majority was already provisioned for DC. In this quarter, the amount would have been 93.2 million, representing an improvement of 20% when compared to the first quarter of 2020, whose provision amount was 126.1 million. At the end of this slide, I turn over to Mauricio Botelho. He's going to talk about the financial highlights in this quarter. Well, thank you very much, Ricardo. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We're now going to move on to slide number 9. We're going to talk about PMSO. In the first quarter of 2021, the PMSO totaled 603 million, a reduction of 45 million when compared to the first quarter of 2020. The six companies that contributed for this reduction when compared to the first quarter were Energisa Rondônia, Mato Grosso do Sul, Acre, Minas Gerais, Paraíba, and Tocantins. The overall amount of this reduction was 55.8 million, or 15% when compared to the first quarter of 2020. Energisa Rondônia contributed with 53% of this reduction, and Mato Grosso with 17%. It's important to highlight that we have presented a reduction in all of the items in this indicator. Expenses with personnel had an indication with labor law payments and benefits as a result of the migration of health. But we also had a reduction in the purchase of materials and in hiring outsourced services. Rondônia had a reduction of expenses with preventive maintenance and deadline maintenance as a result of the internalization of labor for services such as cleaning areas and pruning. The line of other expenses had a reduction of 21.3 million. We're now going to move on to slide number 10. In slide number 10, we will talk about the EBITDA in the first quarter, which presented an increase of 54% or 458 million when compared to the first quarter of 2020. The range in the quarter of the adjusted EBITDA used for the calculation of covenants, which takes into account the delinquency increases, were 53.3%. This performance is explained especially by the increment of Parcel B of the distributors in the case of Tocantins, Rondônia, and Acre, and Borborema, and also because the market grew in some distributors. In addition to that, we had a reduction of PMSO costs, and the other six distributors had an average growth of only 2%, in other words, well below the IPCA in this period. The EBITDA, without the non-recurring effects and non-cash events, had an increase of 33% quarter over quarter. And then in the next slide, we compare the EBITDA in the last 12 months, quarter by quarter, against the PMSO expenses. As you can see in this 12-month graph, it removes the volatility and seasonality from one quarter to the other, and we can see a constant improvement in operating expenses of PMSO, which reduced 383 million BRLs on an annual basis, which helped with the evolution of 944 million in the EBITDA, reaching 4.8 billion. PMSO represented 75.9% of the EBITDA and is now 52.9%. Our guidance for 2020, when compared to the PMSO reduction between 5% and 7%, was overcome in 2020, and we continue presenting this year still a reduction of costs due to the efforts maintained by our management. We are still positioned among the largest PMSO in the distribution sector in this country this year. In the next slide, we compare the performance of the EBITDA against the regulatory EBITDA, and would like to highlight the last two acquisitions, Acre and Rondônia. Also, we are already operating with a performance of 43% when compared to the regulatory EBITDA. In the case of Rondônia, which left from a situation where the EBITDA was highly negative, 200 million, we are now moving on to positive. However, it is lower than the regulatory threshold. In Acre, we went from a situation where it was much lower than the regulatory EBITDA, and today we have gone above it. Of course, this evolution is reflected on the net profit of these companies. Rondônia already has a net profit for two consecutive quarters, and Acre for three consecutive quarters. In the next slides, we're going to talk about our net profit. In the quarter, we had 873 million when compared to 582 last year. We once again can see the effect of subscription bonuses, in addition to other non-recurring and non-cash events. The growth remains relevant. Profit is reported at 408 million, representing an increase of 256% when compared to the same period last year. In other words, additional 294 million BRL. In slide 14, we're going to talk about our indebtedness. We have a total of 14.2 billion, a growth of 647 million compared to the debt in December 2020. Until March this year, we had 15 operations, including rolling, strengthening, long-term loans, which totaled 1.63 billion BRLs. We have concluded the quarter with a robust position, with a robust cash position of 5.7 billion. The average term of the gross debt is 4 years, and the average cost is 5.15% per year when compared to 4.54% in December 2020. Our main indexator is CDI with 66.8% of the debt. In March, the annual adjusted EBITDA was 3 times when compared to 3.1 times in December 2021. Our limitation of covenants for this indicator is 4 times. In other words, we are at a very comfortable situation. And then in the next slide, we're going to talk a little bit about our investments. In this period, in this quarter, we had 698 million, a minor reduction of 2.3% when compared to 714 million in the first quarter. This reduction occurred for special obligations and non-electric assets. Taking into account the electric assets, there was an increase of investments of 7.5% or 42 million BRLs of the total invested in this period. 80.3% were for the distributors and 15.4% for the transmitters that are under construction. We have 13 ongoing projects. 2 have been already inaugurated this quarter with investments of 24 million and a capacity of 6.2 MWP. The investments of the other 13 projects are in the order of approximately 150 million. In 2021, we will have record investments. We have already announced it. We did so in the beginning of the year, and we'll invest 3.8 million. In the distributors, we will have 2.8 billion invested in the transmission. And in Rondônia, we have expected investments of 747 million BRLs, 314 million in electric assets, and 410 million in special obligations, including the interconnection of the 9 isolated systems. In the second half of the year, we have the Mato Grosso, in Energisa Mato Grosso and Mato Grosso do Sul together, totaling 1 billion BRL. And then in the next slide, we're going to talk about transmission. We have 5 enterprises. They represent 258 million of permitted annual revenue. And for the 2021 cycle, we have signed a concession agreement for Energisa Transmissora Amazonas with a payment of 239 million to Amazonas Generation regarding the acquisition of the assets existing in this concession. We also started the receipt of 30% of the total RAP. In terms of projects, we expect an average anticipation of 12 to 18 months, including the revitalization of the existing assets. I would also like to mention that in regards to our transmission project in Tocantins, we are now discussing long-term funding with BASA and BNDES in the amount of 500 million BRLs, representing 75% of the projected CAPEX. We want to continue growing the transmission segment and are looking at assets that make sense to us in synergism with the current assets of the group. I thank you all for your attention for another important meeting, and we are now open for Q&A. We're now going to start our Q&A. In case you have any questions, please dial star 1. If your question has been answered, you can remove yourself from line by dialing star 2. Questions will be answered in the order they are received. We ask you kindly to lift your phone before you ask your question. With that, we have optimal audio quality. Please wait while we collect questions. Our first question is from Carolina Cadiz Suisse. Good afternoon. Thank you for the call. I have two questions, please. The first question is regarding PMSO, which was presented this quarter. You have had since last year part of these amounts, and this was affected by COVID. You also mentioned some other effects, such as the internalization of labor, but I wanted to have an idea of the level of costs that we will be seeing this year. Can you tell us a little bit about that? The second question is about the auction of the Amapá distributor. I would like to know about your interest and the challenges that you see regarding this asset. Thank you very much. Well, I'm going to share the answer with who is here with me. One of our concerns here right now is exactly this increase of commodities in general. This may have an impact on the costs of supply, and that affects services as well, since the purchase of materials is also included. It is difficult for us to give a guidance right now because everything is very volatile. We are experiencing some increments of unit costs, and that also has an impact on CAPEX. We have delayed some purchases to see if prices stabilize. I have tried to add some things, but basically this is it, Mauricio. We're working hard. We're now trying to buy what is really necessary because we have a lot of pressure. There is an inflationary pressure. It is difficult. We're going through a very volatile moment. This is a challenge. We're trying to optimize our purchase process. Have I answered your question, Carolina? Regarding costs, yes. Could you comment the CEA process for the Amapá distributor? Are you interested or not? Do you see any special challenge there? I would say the following. In general, there are a lot of opportunities in the electric sector as a general rule. Of course, it's a complex asset. It is small. It does have problems. but we should always look at it closely. Perhaps there is not a lot of synergism to begin with, according to our current businesses. Okay, thank you very much. Our next question is from Marcelo Sá, Itaú. Marcelo, please proceed. Thank you for the call. I have a few questions. I think I have already commented about it. It's regarding IGT. The other question is regarding CD29, which deal with loss methodology. Do you think that the changes you are discussing will have a substantial impact on the regulatory losses you have today? And the other question is regarding the operational cost methodology. In the beginning, we had some counterintuitive results. There were some errors in calculations and the parameters that were defined. I would like to know if this is evolving and if you could comment on it. And I also wanted to know about the efficiency ranking and what the adjusted methodology is. Thank you, Marcelo. We're going to divide the answer, and I will talk about the first question regarding the opportunities. We are carefully looking at all of the transmission assets, Talun and the transmitter. It's very interesting. We're also going to analyze generation. I will turn over to Alexandre so he can answer the other items. Good afternoon, Marcelo. Good afternoon, everyone. Regarding Public Consultation 29 and the loss calculations and recoverables, we discussed with NIL, took our contributions, and I believe that this public consultation will see results in the near future. In terms of your question of what we see, we are a company, perhaps with the exception of Energisa Rondônia, which was recently purchased, our companies, as demonstrated in the presentation by Ricardo, have losses at an efficient level. What we believe right now is that the signal for these companies who have an efficient level of losses tends to improve. This is what we have discussed with NIL. We believe that there will be changes in the signal regarding CP62. We are also discussing with NIL. These discussions have been very good. I believe that this methodology will be different from what was proposed. There are improvements to be made. Contributions are regarding the salary index, and I believe that a lot of the contributions we have shared accepted. It is a public consultation for the second half of the year, and I think we will close this deal. There was a specific aspect in this public consultation. It had to do with the impact of the labor lawsuit. Do you think that it will be confirmed? Well, the contribution was very robust, not only for Energisa, but Brage and different companies in the sector. This contribution was taken into account by the regulator, and we asked for a differential treatment. but we have had an improvement of the information base. In our specific case, the contribution of the salary index was robust. We also have other aspects to be taken into account. There are numerous concessions. If we consider all of them, we can see that there is a lot of opportunity for improvement of the current methodology. We believe that in the second quarter, we will conclude these negotiations. The contributions have been very good, and it will take us a while, or it will take the regulator a while to accommodate. This new methodology will only have an impact on the tariff adjustments after 2022. Yes, correct. Okay, great. Thank you. We have a question via webcast from Fernando Sampaio, Brasil Capital. What is your opinion about the PMSO management for 2021, since the expectation was to grow above inflation because of the resumption of activities? Good afternoon, Fernando. I think that this is very similar to what we have already discussed with Carolina. It's difficult to give a guidance right now because of the increase in the price of commodities that may have an impact on the costs of supplies and services. We're trying to keep it below inflation rates. We have had a reduction in this first quarter, and this is what we are hoping for, looking into the future. Our next question via webcast is from Sergio Araújo. I would like the company to explain what factors have led to the improvement in the results of Energisa Services results. Energisa Soluções, the solutions company, has had stable profits when compared from one year to the other. The EBITDA of Energisa Soluções grew 6.4% million to 6.7. It wasn't that expressive. Ricardo, would you like to complement my answer? You have answered it, Mauricio. We have evolved in some lines. We had improvements in contribution margin, which is an important aspect, in lines that when we take into account the different services provided by Energisa Soluções, we have had some improvements in most of the lines in terms of more contributions. The result was small, relatively small, but it was superior than what was recorded last year. We also have other contributions regarding the assets numbers that were indicated in the results for the first quarter, and this is for last year. But in general, the company has performed appropriately. Roberta, who is joining our team, will expand the results of all of these divisions regarding services, including distributed generation, and also Energisa Comercializadora, and other businesses that may be incorporated in the portfolio of Energisa Services. Our next question is from Andrea Sampaio, Santander.
Mr. André, please proceed.
Good afternoon, everyone. I wanted to ask one question regarding the comment you made to participate in generation of 3CE. I wanted to hear from you if that indicates that you are considering more aggressive movements in the world of generation and perhaps have a more relevant position as you had in the past, and also if you were willing to analyze the M&A market for renewables so that you can go back to the sector.
Well,
we always have to look for opportunities in the electric sector. It depends on the project itself in the case of 3CE and generation. So we will retransform . There is a new vision on the assets. We have some projects in the pipeline. We have the wind farm in Sobradinho, which is being developed. We have price conditions. These are opportunities. We have a higher percentage in the free market. But it will allow us to have a more aggressive opportunity in this segment. But in fact, these are activities that are very interesting within the strategic objectives of Energisa. Well, with that, we could complement the answer by saying the following. These projects are strategic. There is a price scenario that is more adequate. We can see the prices growing. These projects have a window for the use of the TUSD discount. From now on, renewable energy projects will no longer have this discount. We have two solar plants. We have two wind projects. We are looking at prices, variation, and including everything in this so-called universe with the possibility of commercializing. That will be an alternative, as well as other opportunities for privatization. We are actively evaluating all of the opportunities. I'd like to remind you that to ask questions, you should dial star 1. I now turn over to Mr. Mauricio Botelho for his final considerations. Mr. Mauricio, please make your final considerations. I thank you all for your presence here at Energisa's conference call. I believe that we are going in the right track to contain expenses, looking at efficiency, And we're very optimistic with the resumption of our economy this year. We also have a good cycle of commodities knocking at our door, and that may be good for the regions where Energisa operates in the north and center west. I thank you all for your attention. Energisa teleconference result is conference is now over.